What is the difference between being woke and being awakened? Well, everything. And we'll find the way to see that difference in the scripture lessons appointed for this first Sunday of Advent. St. Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome that you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. Why? For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is far advanced. The day is at hand. By salvation being nearer at hand, Paul means that each passing day brings the world closer to the return of Christ in glory to judge the living and the dead. And the fact that we cannot know the precise time of Christ's future coming does not change the reality that each day brings us closer to the last day. And that is why the Lord Jesus teaches us in the gospel today that we must stay awake, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. So, the Savior and his apostle agree on our urgent need to be awakened and to stay awake, lest the return of the Lord catch us off guard and fill us with fear. But how are we to do that? Paul tells us, "Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day." And how do we put on the armor of light? By living the grace of our baptism. The sacrament of holy baptism is called by several names: second birth, renewal by the Holy Spirit, washing of regeneration, passage through death, and liberation from sin. One of the prefigurings of baptism in the Old Covenant was Noah's flood, to which the Lord Jesus makes reference in the gospel today. And one other essential dimension of baptism is called enlightenment, because in this first sacrament, the soul is filled with grace to receive the light of the gospel with saving faith and know that Jesus of Nazareth is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. In the vigil of Easter, the darkness of night is banished with light from the new fire, from which is kindled the Passover candle, the sign of the pillar of fire who guides us through the waters of baptism from slavery to sin to the freedom of the new creation. That Paschal candle represents the light of Christ, the light of Christ in the world. And at the baptism of each child, a smaller taper is kindled from the Paschal candle and given to the newly baptized with the exhortation, "Receive the light of Christ." And so St. Paul says that we should throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And then he adds immediately, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh." Being clothed with Christ is another way in which Paul speaks of holy baptism. And that grace is ordered to freeing us from the desires of the flesh, of which Paul here makes a list: reveling, drunkenness, debauchery, licentiousness, quarreling, and jealousy, sins of the mind and heart, as well as of the body. But here we must remember that in biblical usage, the words flesh and body mean different things. The body is created by God to be good, to be very good, and the body is an essential part of being human. All the saints will exist for eternity in their glorified bodies, made like the body of the risen Christ in the beatific vision. But the flesh refers not to the body, but to that part of our bodily existence which is in rebellion against the law of love. Our fallen flesh rejects the Father's eternal plan of salvation and leads us into deeds of darkness. The remedy for that rebellion of the flesh is grace, God's free and unmerited favor by which we receive the gift of saving faith. St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And now we see the full meaning of Paul's words to the Romans by reference to the gift and the grace of holy baptism. Put on the armor of light, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. But given how easily we stumble and fall into darkness, how are we to stay awake and conduct ourselves properly as in the day? By allowing the living God to teach us how to live and how to love, and that he does in the holy city, Jerusalem, at the center of which is the temple. The psalmist sings, "I rejoiced because they said to me, 'We will go up to the house of the Lord.' And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city with compact unity, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord." Going up to Jerusalem is not simply a metaphor, like going up to Oxford is for the British. Jerusalem sits over 25 feet above sea level, even though it is only 33 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. The holy city rises over the plains and deserts around it and is built on high places like Mount Moriah, Mount Olivet, and Mount Zion. Pilgrims arriving from every direction literally had to ascend in order to go up to Jerusalem. And their final destination was the highest point in the city, the temple, the dwelling place of God on earth. As we read in the first lesson today, the prophet Isaiah knew that Jerusalem was eventually meant to be the high place of worship and teaching, not only for the tribes of Israel, but for all the tribes of the earth, for the whole human race. And so Isaiah wrote that in the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths." In the fullness of time, when the Son of Mary was revealed to be not only the Son of David and the King of the Jews, but also God the Son and the King of all creation, then Jerusalem and its temple were transformed from the place of worship and teaching for the children of Abraham into the same for all the peoples of the earth. Christ's broken body, tortured to death and sealed in the tomb, burst forth from his grave, perfectly restored in the glory of the resurrection. And the Lord Jesus was thus revealed as the true temple, the eternal high seat of God's glory and the dwelling place of God on earth. And from that day to the last day, the Lord Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, the only source of perfect praise, authentic worship, and divine teaching for the whole human race. That, friends, is why the Church of Jesus Christ is the New Jerusalem, and Christ himself is the new and true temple, the everlasting dwelling place of God with the human race. In the church, the gospel of salvation is proclaimed to the ends of the earth, and the sacraments of the new covenant are celebrated to unite us by faith, hope, and love to the sacrificial suffering, atoning death, and life-giving resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we accept the grace of salvation from the Messiah and allow him to teach us the full truth about our origin and destiny, then we find enlightenment and liberation from both falsehood and selfishness, which together lead to wickedness of every miserable kind. But now we come to the deep mystery of lawlessness. If all nations are called to the mountain of the Lord's house, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths, and if Jesus Christ is light from light and true God from true God, then why do so many people still live in the spiritual darkness of unbelief and unrighteousness, including, sadly, so many of the baptized, and worse, not a small number of the ordained. Why do so many refuse the gift of saving faith that clothes us in the armor of light? Well, there are many reasons why so few keep the word of God, but one of the most important is this. We very often prefer darkness to light. We are drawn to the dark because it gives cover to our sins. By some instinct of inner cunning, we sense that the more we know about God, the more accountable we are for our own conduct. The apostle and evangelist John explains the problem this way. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. And here we learn the stark difference between the illusion of being woke and the reality of being awakened. Awakened to the full truth about God and man revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The next time you meet a Catholic who has left the church, or hear someone say that they are spiritual but not religious, think of this distinction. The pose of enlightenment without the humility to be taught the truth, and the fantasy of spirituality without the need for moral conversion and self-sacrifice, are both consequences of our yearning for darkness in which to conceal our sins. And ironically, those who denounce Christianity as ignorant superstition usually think of themselves as both enlightened and liberated, when in fact they are neither. Those who do not know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world are not enlightened. They are sleepwalking. And they are not liberated because they are slaves to their own disordered self-love. On the last day, when Christ returns as judge of the living and the dead, it is the sleepwalkers who will be wrapped in fear, because living in darkness will no longer be possible. And that is why Isaiah bids us now to walk in the light of the Lord, and why the Savior commands us today, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Friends, we wake up to the truth, and we go up to the Lord when we live every day in keeping with the grace of our baptism. This we do by submitting everything we are and have and do and think and say to the teaching and judgment of the Word of God, so that we can be liberated, made free to live in the light of true faith and right reason. And when we fail and fall back into works of darkness, as we all do, then we can wake up and go up again by making a good confession in which the grace of our baptism is renewed. Today begins a new year of grace, and during the beautiful peace of Advent, we are called to be vigilant, to live in the light of the truth, and to be instructed by the Lord. We wake up when we accept the gospel in the obedience of faith, and we go up when we read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest the Word of God in Holy Scripture. And once we are awakened and enlightened, then we must live the law of love always and everywhere, to bear witness to Him who is light from light and true God from true God, the Messiah and only Savior of the entire human race, who will return in glory at the end of days. The Lord Jesus Christ.